Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Listen, it is turkey season just right around the corner. And what a better way to start it than getting a new turkey call? Head over to PacificCustomCalls.com. They have a promo code, BHP25. You can save 25% off at checkout, whatever you order, whether it's waterfowl, apparel, turkey calls, 25% off. Use our promo code BHP25. Great guys up there. In Idaho, Post Falls, Idaho.
Having their turkey rodeo.
Turkey rodeo's coming up now. I think signups are over now, but if you're signed up, good luck there this year. And turkey rodeo's coming up. A lot of cool things going on up there with Pacific Calls. So check them out if you're in the market for a new call. Ducks, geese, cranes, turkeys, whatever you're wanting, they got something for you. PacificCustomCalls.com.
Official call of Stanfield Hunting Outfitters.
That is right. Next, we are also brought to you by Hemp Hill Farms. They also have a promo code, BHP. It is for 20% off of your next online order. CBD is the way to go.
Steve Barber told me he's got Thunder on him.
Really?
Yep. He's ordered him for Thunder and going to order him some. He's having some shoulder issues. Going to do the roll on. I highly, highly recommend as you get older, feet hurt at nighttime. Joints, bones, aches, we're old. All them days of playing slow pitch softball are going to catch up to your ass when you get in your 50s. Get you some relief and call the Hemp Hill Farms. I use it every night. I take a gummy to sleep every night. Knocks me out for about 6 hours. Wake up without a hangover. It's great stuff.
Hemp Hill Farm, that's farm with a PH.com. Next, we are brought to you by Shin Gear. They have the best stuff that's on the market right now. Their waders are phenomenal. Jackets are amazing. I wear their bibs every single day. I cannot say enough good things about Shin Gear. They're great people to work with. They have an incredible warranty that they'll stand behind their products for as long as you stand in them. Customer service is at the forefront of all the products with Shin Gear. Amazing people. They got a Shin Fest coming up again in October. They're going to do the movie festival again, so make plans now. Memphis, October. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully, we're going to be there this year. Whatever you're needing, shingear.com is where to look for that. Great people. And their products are phenomenal. Next, we're brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Rebel and Logan put on a great show. You can head over to their Patreon account, get signed up for there. They have a new episode every single week, and they have a bourbon review there. So if you're a bourbon drinker, that's your fancy, then check them out. Looking Glass Podcast. Logan's a great guy. I love
bourbon experts.
They are connoisseurs, one would say. But like I said, just go over to their Patreon, type in the Looking Glass Podcast. It'll pop up, and then you can just... Pay to play, boys and girls, pay to play. That's at patreon.com and go from there. Next, we are brought to you by Lucky Duck. They've got a lot of amazing stuff for waterfowl, but one of their kind of hidden gems is their varmint calls. Turkey, like I said, turkey season's coming up. To have big turkey numbers, you need to have a low predator number.
Get rid of them coons.
Get rid of coons, get rid of coyotes. They've got an amazing e-caller out there that you can call all these different things in. I say it every year, I'm going to shoot a lot of raccoons, and I never do. But this year, it's for certain. I'm going to. Right now, you can enjoy 20% off the Roughneck e-collar. That sale ends April 7th. Put your email in there for all the details. But
you got nothing to do in the spring. Once you shoot your turkeys, you're done. Go ahead and shoot you some coons.
Might as well.
Clean them up. Clear them out. Help your quail and your turkey numbers. Help everything out. Go kill some coons.
They've also got amazing A-frames. We hunt out of them every single day. Great spinners, obviously. 5-star crash test rated kennel, luckyduck.com. Next, we are brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. It's the way I start my day every single day here at the Big Honker Lodge with the Missouri Boat Ride blend. They've gotten amazing different blends that are all phenomenal. They've got First Flight, Suns Up, Guns Up, Cinnamon Teal, Morning Wood, and they've also got a cold brew. Warmer days are coming. I like my afternoon coffee. I like it cold. So they've got the King Rider cold brew right now. Head over to their website right now, dirty.coffee.com. You can get on the loyalty program and it'll just ship straight to your door. You won't even have to go back.
So they have the coolest swag in the business.
They really do. Really do. Jay and Buck are also great guys. So if you see them at a hunting show, stock up there. And if not, dirty.coffee.com and it'll go straight to your door.
And they got the K-Cup cartridges now also.
Yeah. So if you're not a grounds kind of guy, they got K-Cups. So got whatever you need. Next, we're brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries. They've changed the silhouette game. They're now into the floater line. They've got different floaters out there right now. They're kind of a one-stop shop, whatever you need. They've got gun cases. Their apparel is really, really good too. Full body snows. I know a lot of people are still shooting snow geese, which is crazy to me, but they do have a good looking full body snow goose decoy out there.
Apparel sale right now, 35% off top selling hoodies, shirts, hats, and youth gear. Limited quantity, so get on diebombindustries.com. Also, Squad Fest is when July.
It's coming up late July. I'm not for sure the date. It's around the 20th, 19th, 20th, somewhere around there. So if you're in the St. Louis area, come for the third or fourth annual Squad Fest. It's always a great time.
Fourth annual.
A lot of really good contest callers out there, and the beer goes down extra good in St. Louis. So we'll see you there. We'll be there and look forward to seeing you. Next, we're brought to you by Brit Labs, Double T British Kennel. Corey has some of the best British labs on the market right now. They're incredible civilians, and they are a monster out in the field. Hunted with them the last couple of years, and they're great, great dogs, and they're sweet as can be. That's the crazy thing. I mean, they're workhorses out in the field, and then you get them at home, and they're just a big old love bug. So,
great pets.
If you're needing a new puppy, a started dog, or a finished dog, contact Corey, BritLabs.com, and he can y'all can all go from there. But I know a lot of people have been getting his dogs and not hearing anything but great reviews. So check him out, BritLabs.com. Also, we're brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is back in style, but they're not stopping at Bismuth. They will have a steel line out there, the Steel Legacy line, for people that are only want to shoot steel. If that's your jam, then they can help you.
Shooting ducks under 30 yards, it's cheaper, great knockdown power, got that same Boss technology in it, and that's BossShotShells.com. You can't go wrong with Boss. It only takes one.
That's right. Copper-plated Bismuth is my jam. They got their TSS turkey line out there, the Boss Tom, and let me tell you, it puts a hurting on them. So check them out at Boss Shot Shells.
Call them up, order some Stanfield 9s for dove season. Dove season is only like 5 months away.
It's not far.
5 months away from today, we'll be shooting doves. Holler at them, get you some Stanfield 9s. Yes, shot shells are going to be harder to get this year. Stock up now.
Yes, the shortage is going to be real. So if you wait till the last minute, there's a good chance that you won't have shotgun shells. So head over to Boss Shot Shells right now and get what you're going to need for this coming waterfowl season. Because if you wait too long, you're going to be sad. I promise you. Next, we're brought to you by MLR Graphics out there in Breckenridge, Texas. They make all of our swag out here at Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. They can do you too. If you're managing a baseball team or, you know, looking ahead, you got football coming up. No job too big or too small. Michael is a great guy, and he takes very, very good care of us.
Good Christian man, great family guy. Reach out to mlrgraphics.com in Breckenridge, Texas. They can ship to you. Like I said, they take care. All of our stuff comes from MLR. I highly recommend them.
Next, we are brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. No organization has done more to put ducks back into the sky. Figure out a way that you can get involved, whether it be starting a chapter, joining a chapter. Ducks Unlimited is the leader in wetland conservation. No organization does more to help the hunters out than Ducks Unlimited, and we're proud to be associated with them. So figure out a way to get involved. Ducks.org. Next, we are brought to you by Mossberg. Tell you what, that waterfowl gun that they got, it's Matty Robertson approved. It's Andy Shaver approved. It's what I shoot out here all winter long, and it's a workhorse. Shot it for two seasons now, never had a hiccup. You can check them out, Mossberg.com. If you're at a sporting goods store and you see a Mossberg behind the counter, put it to your shoulder. Give it a test run. They've done a lot of really, really good things with the 940 waterfowl gun. Love it. Check it out. Also, we're brought to you by Mallard Bay. They are the Airbnb of booking waterfowl hunts or hunts in general. If you are trying to book a hunt this coming season, no matter where, they've made it easier than ever before. You can literally type in what you're looking for, where, price range, and you'll have all these results pop up right there. So they have a vetting system with their outfitters, so you don't have to worry about getting your money taken. Head over to mallardbay.com to book your next hunting adventure.
And if you're an outfitter, I also highly recommend Mallard Bay for selling your hunts.
You get a lot of eyes on you.
Yes, a lot of eyes. You'll fill in your dates. So you guys out there that are starting businesses or established and you're having some trouble selling certain times, reach out to Mallard Bay and talk to them. White and them guys out there are great dudes.
Next, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield Stool. It has saved my back and my butt all waterfowl season. No more bucket butt for me. Set the Stanfield Stool in these A-frames, and I'm telling you what, it's the cat's meow. I'm comfortable all day, never got up achy or anything like that. Usually towards the end of the year, I'm feeling my age. Not anymore in the Stanfield Stool. They've also got a blind caddy out there. You can set it up on your A-frame, keep your coffee, your shotgun shells, calls all organized, keep it all right in front of you. They're ahead of the time. You can order all of this cool stuff at OutdoorSpecialties.com, and it'll ship straight to your door. Last but certainly not least, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. Dove season's coming up. like Jeff said, not too far away. We're filling in. So if you're wanting a dove hunting date, weekends are probably all gone, but we got some weekdays available.
I have opening day of dove season is a September 1st is on a Sunday this year. I've got a special for Sunday, Monday. It's $400. Come in on Saturday night, have dinner Saturday night, breakfast, three meals on Sunday, hunt morning, afternoon, spend the night again, have breakfast and a hunt on Monday morning, which is Labor Day. It's $400 a person. I've got limited opportunity. I think I've got room for 16 people. That is all I got left for that opening day. If you're interested in it, holler at me pretty quick, 940-658-3172. Can do some corporate dove hunts during the week. Private groups, got to have at least 20 people. Book the entire lodge for $10,000 for 20 people. Do two mornings, two afternoons, lodging and meals. StanfieldHunting.com.
Thank you so much for listening to the Big Hunker Podcast. None of this would be possible without you great listeners. So we appreciate you. Love you. Bye. Watch for deer. It rained all day Tuesday, so we wouldn't have been able to hunt Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, it fucking... So, the weatherman, fuck that motherfucker. That's something that's wrong.
All the time.
So, Tuesday is like... I looked Monday at the weather, because I want to go fishing. And I looked Monday, and it said Tuesday it was going to be fucking shit and rain.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. Maybe I can get like a 2 or 3 hour window. I can go practice. So I woke up. I'm fucking laying in bed. First thing I look at the weather. And I look at it, and it's like 30%. But I looked at the radar, and this lake that's like an hour from me, there was no rain going to be coming over it. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to roll the dice.
Yeah.
I went all the way to Huntsville. Got my dad's boat, drove all the way back over here, an hour or like 2 hours from his house, went over there, fished from like 11 to 6, didn't get a fucking drop of rain on me. I was like, yeah, fucking best fucking job in the world. You ain't even got to be fucking writing to get paid.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to hit the intro. Here we go. In.
Gotta put two of them in.
Hadn't had breakfast yet.
Oh no.
Boom, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, home of the Stanfield Stool. I'm Jeff Stanfield with the world-famous Andy Shaver.
First of all, before I give a plug to Alpha Outdoors and their incredible products, I have a somber moment. My favorite...
Fuck him.
My favorite double homicide, what would you call it, murderer, is now dead. Mr. Orenthal James Simpson.
Also known as that piece of shit, O.J. Simpson.
The juice is running loose.
In hell, probably. Not supposed to judge people.
He's running from the cops in the sky.
Yeah. Didn't his buddy die already, too, that had the Bronco? I think he died a couple years ago.
I don't know. But anyway, you know, he's carrying on his police chase in the sky.
Just think of a poor kid.
Fly high, OJ.
That grew up in the ghettos of San Francisco to being the most beloved man in America at a time.
Yeah.
Everybody liked him. He was on TV and everything. To hacking up your fucking wife because you couldn't get over the fact that she done dumped your ass, basically.
Done did him wrong.
Yep.
Tell you what, a heartbreak will make a man do crazy things, Jeff. Make a man do crazy things.
Just think of that poor guy that saw this good-looking blonde at a bar and was going to go home with her, and he gets butchered up in the fucking street.
No, he was just taking her glasses home. She'd forgotten them at the restaurant.
Yeah, don't buy that shit. What do you think? Our guest today, PGA golf pro, my favorite golfer in the world, the guy that don't act like a golfer, he don't act like a snobby rich kid from the country club, Chandler Phillips. Chandler, what do you think? You think he was just going to take her glasses back? I call bullshit on that.
They're all fucked up in the head that do that.
Yep. He wasn't. He was,
there ain't no telling.
He was going home with her booty call.
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
I'm just telling you.
If she'd have been some big, fat, ugly gal, I'd have said, yeah, he was taking her glasses back to her. It wasn't. She's attractive.
I'm not
lady.
Saying that he wasn't going to pursue something, but no. That's what he went there.
Did they have a relationship before that?
I don't know. She was kind of, from what I've seen of this, she was going pretty wild that time of her life. Finally broke loose OJ and.
She was sleeping with Marcus Allen.
Brentwood wake up call or something like that is what they called it, and it's her going down on the fella. But I don't know. I'm just telling you, the juice is now loose.
Yep, he
can't get arrested no more.
Oh well, I am going to miss his Twitter every once in a while when he says something really stupid, because he would talk about things like someone getting arrested for something. That's not the place for you to be talking, OJ.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk golf. Big moment in California a couple weeks ago. You tied for third. Me and Andy watched it on TV driving down the road on the truck. I don't know how he could make his truck do that, but we did get to watch you. That's got to be the highlight of your career so far, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, it's biggest stage, you know, ever played on, had a chance to win and came up a little short, but I ain't complaining.
Were you nervous at all?
Man, it's crazy. I wasn't.
Not at all.
That's like scary. Like, I mean, it really is, because I thought, you know, after the second round, I mean, we play four rounds. After the second round, tied for the lead, not nervous. Go into the third round, played with two like veterans, Stuart Sink and Kevin Streelman, guys that's been on tour for I don't even know how long, and they were great. I mean, they, you know, not snobby. I mean, they talked to me all day, wasn't nervous. And then the last round, kind of lucked out. I actually got to play with my old roommate. We were roommates for like 3 years, so that I think that kind of helped out,
right,
with being nervous. It felt like another round at home, you know. So, but it was fun.
Is there a lot of talking amongst the players at that level when you're like
walking hole to hole?
Are you talking some shit? Because like if you're going with your buddies, you talk a little bit of shit here and there. Is there none of that?
Yeah,
is there none of that going on?
That last day, me and Cam, my old roommate, we talked a little shit. We talked a little shit through like the first five holes, and then we were both kind of playing good and kind of moving up, you know. I think he was two strokes back. I think I tied for the lead through like five holes or something like that. And then it was kind of like, all right, motherfucker, like, you do you, I'm gonna do me.
Quit talking.
we'll figure this out at the end, you know. So
I was nervous for you, and then it dawned on me. I thought, you know, every time you'd chip the ball or something, you'd put it by the pin and something. I'm thinking, goddamn, don't fuck up right here. Don't fuck up. And then I thought, why the fuck am I thinking about that shit? This fucker's playing on the PGA Tour. They don't fuck up. It's not like you're going to hit a burner into the crowd or anything.
Right. I did last week.
I saw that.
Well, no, hey, no bullshit. I did that day. I ain't going to lie, it kind of fucked me up, because got on eight and, you know, I was playing good. I think I just made bogey on seven. And eight's like 240-yard par three. The wind is like howling off the left. And, I mean, you got to – where the wind was and how far the shot is, the ball's in the air for so long, I had to start this ball left of the green or I was going to miss it right. Well, the thing about the PGA Tour is they – when they set up, they don't take any of that shit into – account, like the wind and everything. So on the left side of the green, there's 20 yards before like the rope where people can stand. Mm-hmm. On the right side, it's only fucking 10 yards. Oof. Right of the green. So I hit this shot, it comes up, gets in the air, I started a little further right than I wanted to, and it just starts drifting, and I'm like, shit. So we yell four, and then I get up there, and my ball's only like 2 yards, 3 yards off the green. I'm like, I know this son of a bitch was way further right than this. And I look over there. there's a lady on the ground. Dude, I split her head wide open.
Oh, no.
I saw at Sports Center they were talking about it or one of the sports
deals. That bad?
Yeah, dude. So they had like a white towel, you know, a small white towel. You could tell it was white at one time. And some bitch was beat red.
Oh, I mean, no. Is that your first time KOing somebody?
No. No. The first time, man, it seems like every time I've hit two people in my life in tournaments, and both times have been bad. I was playing Houston. I got a sponsor exemption in the Houston Open one year in 2019. And 17, it's kind of a little dog leg left. And if you take it down the left, even if you like hit it down the cart path, I mean, you could end up, obviously it shortens the hole anyways, first of all. And then it just kind of, it's hard panned. And it's kind of like a long hole. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to hit it down the cart path and just have a short shot, you know? Yeah. But everybody's walking on the cart path. You know, I'm not trying to hit anybody, but I can hit, yell forward, and they'll all scatter like, you know, fucking whatever. I fucking hit this thing. It's coming right down on the cart path. We yell forward. I'm not shitting you. There's 150, 200 people over there. They all scatter left, except one fucking guy. He's like on the phone or something. He's faced the other way, and then he kind of like turns and looks to see like what the hell is everybody doing. And as soon as he turns back, he had some Maui Jims, and that somebody's hit him right here.
Oh, lucky didn't kill us. I mean,
smoking.
Shit.
Completely fucked me too, because I mean, my ball would have been 40 yards past it was, and it actually kicked back towards me. But yeah, I get up there, and guys like holding an ice pack on him. And he turns around, takes that ice pack off. And I mean, this dude looked like he got in a fight with Mike Tyson. I mean, his eye just.
Can you imagine going to work after you've been in a golf tournament? It's like, who whooped your ass? I got hit by a golf ball.
Yeah.
We're being proud of those Maui Jims and showing everybody at work. Where's your Maui Jims now? So, they're in pieces.
Them some bitch of pieces. They're broke.
Is the etiquette on the golf tour the same as like if you go to a baseball game and someone gets hurt with a ball or they get a bat, goes into stands, a player autographs something and they go do it? Does the PGA do shit or you're just fucked?
Yeah, no. I mean, like usually if you hit somebody, which obviously you don't want to, but I always got like extra gloves in my bag and stuff like that. I'll get a glove out, sign it, give it to them, which my autograph don't mean shit to them, but I mean,
something,
you know, something. Yeah. I mean, it's all I can do. I can't freaking, oh, hey, time out. Right. You know, I'll catch y'all in an hour. Let me go make sure this person's all right. No, I got to keep playing, you know? So
you play the ball where it lies, like after you hit that lady and it's it's not where you thought it was going to be, you get to play it right there?
Right, yeah.
So I got a question. It's not knowing a bunch about the golf tournament and how this works and stuff. The skinny, big-footed Indian guy that won last week.
Akshay?
Well, what's his name?
Akshay Patil.
Yeah, that's the dude right there. Sucker's got some his feet must be size 18. They look cool. Have you not noticed it looks like Shaquille O'Neal?
I'm going to tell you right now, that TV makes people look a lot bigger than they are.
Okay. Oh, really?
So he's not a big guy?
No, he may be a little bit taller than me, and he's about 140 pounds.
Oh, he doesn't look like he's real heavy, but his feet look like Shaquille O'Neal when he's in the clothes he wears all the time. Anyways, does that guy get a free pass? Does he get to play in the Masters this weekend since he won?
Yes.
That's a hell of a deal. Did you get paid? You didn't make the cut last week. Did you get paid?
No.
So you don't make nothing. If you don't make the cut, you're just out.
Correct.
Okay. I wondered about that because I always follow to see how you've done money-wise. Because like the week before you made the cut and you still won $25,000. That's a damn good weekend.
Yeah. No, you make the cut, you can get last place after making the cut and you'll make 17, 18, something like that.
So all you got to basically do is shoot for playing, making the cut. And you're in the money.
And if you make the cut, you're in the money. Or like so the they got this year, they've started like the new elevated signature events or whatever. So it's kind of hard to explain, but like they have this thing where so the top 50 in the world are already exempt into the signature events. Then they have like five or more spots that are open to from the last signature event to the next signature event. Those tournaments in between, whoever has the most points, the next five best in points earned that aren't already exempt into the next signature event or inside the top 50, they can get into the next signature event, which I've done, and I'll be playing in it next week. And those signature events, there's no cut, only like 55, 60 guys, and you're guaranteed paid, getting paid, and guaranteed playing 4 days.
Where is that at next week?
Hilton Head, South Carolina.
What's the tournament called?
RBC something.
Yeah, I'll go with that. It don't matter. I didn't know. I just didn't know if it was like a John Deere Classic or something. So you're guaranteed in that tournament. If you continue to do this and you're making the money ever like the top 10 every 2 or 3 weeks or month or whatever it is, will you get to play in the U.S. Open or do you have an exemption for that too?
Right now I'm not in it, but if I did that, if I kept playing well, top 10 here or there, you climb up the, like getting third in Florida the other week. That took me from like 215 in the world to like 111. So, and then the U.S. Open, I think it's top like 60 in the world are exempt. I still got to go, 50 spots or so to get in. But if I keep playing well, it could happen at least.
Well, I have begun to watch golf now because of you. And Michelle actually watched it with me the other day, and I was like, I can't believe we're sitting here watching fucking golf. What a difference it's been, because before I wouldn't have given two shits. Now, I'm a big Tiger fan now. Mm-hmm. I told Andy there's no way in hell Tiger wins this weekend.
If he does, I think everybody's going to be surprised.
Yeah, see there, that's a nice way of Chandler saying he ain't going to
win
either.
What was wrong with him at first? Because like when the season first started, he was like, Jeff told me he was out, he's not playing anymore, and like now all of a sudden he's playing this weekend.
Well, the name Tiger Woods, everything he's won. He's pretty much a lifelong member of the PGA Tour. He'll never lose his car. He could be 80 years old and he could say, hey, I want to come and play in this tournament. They're going to put him in.
Like Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, pretty much. If Jack, I don't even know how old he is now, but if he wanted to come play, they'd give him a spot. Jack Nicklaus playing. He'd go out there, shoot 100, and that'd be fine, But, he's had so many damn surgeries, the car wreck and everything. I think he's more metal than he is actually person now. So, I heard from somebody the other day, I don't even remember who it was, and this may be complete bullshit, but he's had so much surgery on his like foot, on the leg that got real messed up in that car wreck, that he almost can't even feel it anymore.
I heard that a lot of other people would have had an amputation.
Really?
But they saved him because of who he is. I can tell you this much about Tiger. Tiger ain't been the same since he gave up all the prostitutes and porn stars. Honest to God truth. When he was banging porn stars, he was winning golf every day.
Not sustainable, though. Tough lifestyle. It's like Charlie Sheen.
Well, when your wife beats the shit out of you with a golf club, I kind of turn around to it. Not been the same since all that.
Because he got caught.
That's right. Yeah. If he would have never he broke the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught. And that's what cost him.
Would playing, if you had to play with Tiger, would that put you in like a different mindset than like playing with your buddy? Like, do you feel like you would be nervous then?
I wouldn't be able to hold the fucking club.
Really?
Oh, hell no. Just because it's Tiger. Right. It's like, God, I'd be looking around. What do I do with my hands? You know,
this is going to bite you in the ass because somewhere down the road, you're going to be in a tournament and you're going to end up getting paired with him. And he's going to talk a lot of shit. Cause I heard he's a king shit talker.
Well, let me tell you something. I put two of these in every time. It might be four. Just so I don't feel a damn thing or don't know where I'm at.
Does Zen sponsor anything?
I don't think so.
I don't know. They're at all the hunting shows. You can get them for like a dollar. You can get them for a dollar a can at the hunting shows. So,
I mean, they've got a big. They're getting big. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's with you young people. I don't know people my age that are doing them. I'm sure there are some.
I got Andy on them.
That's right. I'm still on.
Is this
threes,
how you
though.
Started?
I'm still on threes though.
That's what he's got too. He just had the same one.
He's a sixer. He's fucking double decking sixers.
We talked to a guy in Canada. They had 20s.
Yeah. Something from Russia.
Yeah, the snooze.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like 18s or 20s. I put one in of those, and it felt like somebody took a knife and just started cutting my lip. I was like,
What does it do for you guys?
Well, Tucker Carlson, you got to listen to Tucker Carlson explain Zens because he does in Tucker fashion. He does a very eloquent job of explaining what happens. He says it's like God comes down and he like takes his finger and tickles your central nervous system. You start feeling all of these different synapses in your brain. They start firing off and then you just get a real big euphoric feeling and pretty accurate.
So it's just a buzz type deal.
Yeah, like a little hum, yeah. I'd say.
Do you know he's a rich kid?
Yeah.
I did not realize he's a trust fund baby, like big time money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said it's the worst part of his existence is all that money.
Well, I wish I had that problem.
I don't know. Chandler can maybe tell us about it.
He's cashing in big checks now. That's right. Big boy checks.
Tucker Carlson said, if you ever make $1 billion, that $1 billion will be the worst part of your life.
I wish I had that problem. So, Chandler, do they treat you different at the bank now than they used to? Like when you walk in, are you Mr. Phillips now? And say, there's that fucker that's trying to make it on the golf tour.
There's that A.
No, I ain't no different than who I was 5 years ago without a dollar in my name.
The last thing I told you when you left here last year is I said, listen, don't go get big shot and win a bunch of money. Don't act like we know who you are. And you haven't yet so far.
Here he is right here on the Big Hunker podcast still.
You win the RBC tournament last weekend and I'll be like, God dang, every time I text him, Andy, it's number not available.
Shit. What the?
No, I do. The only thing I've done is I put my phone on do not disturb. So if y'all call me, it's going to go straight to voicemail. If you ring again that second time, it'll go through.
Well, don't tell people that because now they know your secret.
Yeah. I called you the other day and Michelle goes, Jeff, he is a busy man. And then you called me back. I said, he's so busy, he's returning my call, smartass.
What is it like? Like after when you get third, What's the next couple hours and the next morning like? Like, is your phone just blowing up with all this shit that you got to do now?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's just, I think it wouldn't have been as busy of stuff that I had to do the next week if the next week wasn't in Houston, which was pretty much like a home event for me.
Your backyard.
So like that next week, Monday, pretty much all day was doing something. Tuesday, same thing. Wednesday, same thing. Which, I mean, they're all good things to do, you know, kind of helping out, you know, clinic, pro-am. I had to go do an outing for one of my sponsors at a different course. You know, it's just shit that comes with it, you know. I mean, it's just, you got to do it. So, I mean, other than that, all it is just text messages from, you know, friends and stuff. Surprisingly, I didn't have any, with all the text messages, I didn't have any random numbers, so I didn't know them or anything, you know. The thing is like, if I don't know the number, I'm like, I want to say thanks, you know, but it's just like, I don't know who it is. I don't want them to let them know exactly who, like, yeah, this is my number, right, and it'd be. But I don't want to have my number.
Yeah. That's the thing is like the more you get success wise at any level, the more shit you have to do that takes you away from what you're good at.
Right. No, it is. I mean, it's I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like, I know y'all don't watch golf that much, but like, Scottie Scheffler, like, I mean, it's number one player in the world. And I mean, he's about the coolest guy. He is down to earth. You know, he is not an asshole or anything like that. And he was doing an interview and he is like, you know, winning's fun and everything, but I get to enjoy it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after that, I got to start doing, you know, all this stuff for this and this and that, you know, everything like that. I mean, it's like, he was like, you pretty much in a way is like, you get to enjoy it for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And then you got to do all this stuff. Mm. Like, I mean, it's just, but it's how it is, you know, but
whatever. You know, and then it's like, well, when the fuck am I supposed to make time to make sure that I'm good next weekend?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the thing, well, yeah, that's the thing is, I think that's where like our agents like come in and, you know, people, they don't come. It's pretty much not where like, if I play good or I win or something like that, people aren't coming up to me and saying, hey, we need you to do this next week,
right,
or, and we need you to do this and this and that. They'll go to my agent and like, hey, can he do this? Can he do that? And my agent, like all the agents they know are like, okay, hey, we can do this on Monday and we can do this on Wednesday. Everything else? No. Like,
right.
Fuck off. Pretty much fuck off, you know?
They run interference for you. Cause,
yeah,
cause I would be the yes man, you know, like if somebody came to me personally, it's like, yeah, I can do it. And I would like burn myself out cause I couldn't tell people.
Exactly.
No.
I mean, I'd be the same way because I don't want to tell anybody like, no, especially for like people that are like helping out with the tournament and everything like that. It's like, yeah, man, like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, you need me to do a clinic with kids. Yeah, yeah. I'll do it, you know, whatever. But agent, they don't care.
No.
They'll be like, no, no.
Fuck those kids. No. He's not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So will you drive to Hilton Head or are you going to fly?
No, I'll fly. I'll fly to Hilton Head. I'm actually, it's going to be, I don't know when I'll be home.
Really?
Honestly. Yeah. It's, I mean, the next 4 weeks are booked up. And then the week after four is the PGA. I could be in that. That's just kind of like the US Open. I mean, it's all off of world rankings and stuff like that. And then after, I don't know. Yeah, it's just, I'm a busy motherfucker.
For the next month, when do you look at your calendar and like, okay, I can take a break?
Hunting season.
Like, is it going to be September, October?
I looked at it the other day, and it could honestly be that.
Whew.
Yeah. And because, I mean, the thing is, it's like where I'm at right now. I mean, like the FedEx Cup is like, okay, first of all, you got to finish inside the top 125 to keep your card. But if you finish inside the top 70, you make it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make it to the playoffs, you're guaranteed into every tournament next year that other than the majors. So that's top 70. So if you make it to the top 70, like they'll have fall events, but it'll make it where I don't have to go play every freaking fall event to like sustain, you know, that position of, you know, 80th, 90th, you know,
right,
on the points list or something like that. So it'll just open me up for the fall, which, as y'all know, like, that's my time, you know? That time off. So, but yeah, so it's just, you know, I got to play when I'm in. And, you know, there may be a time where I'm like, all right, I'm okay, you know, I'm going to take a week off. But then it's crazy, man. Like, I mean, this week, you know, it's the Masters. There's no other tournament going on. I'm sitting around with my dick in my hand, just like, God, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I mean, it's been raining.
Yeah.
I got set at the house. I don't need to practice. Like, I need to actually take a few days off, which I have done. But then it's like, okay, I can't go fishing because it's fucking raining. Mm-hmm. I can't, and like, and sitting at the house is the fucking worst thing in the world. Like, I can't stand it. And I don't even have, like, I don't have ADHD or anything. It's just like, I hate sitting at the house. I'd rather be outside, you know, fishing, hunting, practicing. I mean, if it comes down to it, fuck it, I will go practice if I ain't got nothing else to do. But I mean, yeah.
So you don't do nothing this week, and then next week you'll play in the tournament in Hilton Head, and then every week after that is basically a tournament unless there's the U.S. Open or one of the big ones, right?
Right. No, it is wide open from here on out.
But you're in every other PGA event outside of the four majors, right?
And the signature events after this one. I mean, I could play myself into it, right. But right now I'm out of those signature events. But the signature events weeks, they'll have an opposite field, opposite event. So, like, next week, signature event is in South Carolina at Hilton Head. There's also an event down in the Dominican Republic. So, I mean, it's just, but it's the guys that aren't in the signature event, the points aren't as much. Hell, the winner at the Dominican next week, he could win the tournament twice, and he still wouldn't have as many points as the winner in Hilton Head.
But what kind of money is the Dominican one? Is that a PGA event too?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. The Dominican is a full field of 150 guys or 144 or something like that with a cut, and the purse is, I think, like $7 million.
Ooh.
The one that I'm going to, there's no cut, and the purse is $20
million. God damn. And you got the wrong sport. Too bad you can't hit a golf ball.
Can't hit a golf ball to save my fucking life.
No. Tell you right now, Andy, at one of those courses, I really honestly don't think he could shoot 150. I'm 100%. I'm not dogging on Andy. I've seen him play golf. I've seen him drive the ball backwards.
I did do that one time.
I mean, he's fucking terrible. I mean, he really, really is a terrible, terrible, terrible golfer.
I'll make up for it in other ways. I can kill a turkey and kill geese.
You can do that. I can't do that. So, but I would bet everything I have, I could beat Andy by golf by 10 strokes easy. And I'm not that good a golfer no more. I mean, I'm decent.
I can edit the shit out of a podcast.
Yeah. So, Chandler, are you going to, like, it just blows my mind. There are guys that still want to gamble with you at country clubs, right?
I don't know. I ain't been. I ain't had time, you know? I mean, I'm sure if I called my buddies down at the little nine-hole course that we usually gamble at, I mean, I'm sure they could find a game, but I can guarantee you I'm going to get fucked on it. Like, just.
So the rules are set against you then?
Yeah. I mean, in a way, like, it will be fair, but at the same time, I'd have to play my ass off to win any money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Golf is such a fine
line. And the thing is like last summer, I mean, I don't feel like I'm no better than I was. I don't feel like I'm any better now than I was last summer. And last summer I went out there and played and I lost freaking $7,900 in one day. Like, I mean, it's just, and I watched another guy that was on my team, you know, everybody has their own bets and everything, but you're still playing on this like 3 versus 3. And I watched a guy have to wire money because it was so much.
Shit.
Yeah.
Mm. That'd be fun to be that good at golf. Golf is such a thin line between being there. You can go to any big country club and find a guy on that golf course that's really a really, really good golfer that's just a stroke or two away from being a great golfer. And that's the thin line, you guys, and you're above that line. But
yeah, I mean, there's so many. There's so many in the world that, I mean, that could be doing what I'm doing right now, and it's just playing good at the right time and getting status and working your way up. I mean, hell, the other day, like my caddy, his name's Braden Bailey. We're playing, it was the week before the Valspar. I mean, the best tournament I've had all year so far. he lives here in College Station too, and we'll, you know, he'll come out and practice with me and stuff like that. And he, we went out there, played 2 days in a row. Some bitch beat me, and I'm just like, fuck, you know, like I'm thinking like, God, this next week's, you know. But I mean, it's not, but it's like, it's not a surprise.
Right.
I mean, he played college golf. He played at Baylor. And we played against each other all the time. Like, I mean, he's a damn good golfer. Like, he's really good. He could play with anybody. But it's just the timing of playing right that hasn't lined up for him. Which, I mean, it didn't line up for me for – I turned pro in 2019, and I didn't play my first full season on the Corn Ferry till last year. Mm-hmm. So, like, 3 years, 4 years. So, I mean, it didn't line up for me for 3 or 4 years. It's just – You got to take advantage of it when it comes, you know. So,
does he have aspirations to be a golfer?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did, but now I think I'm paying him enough.
Caddy,
like, screw it, you know.
Caddies make good cash too, especially if you're somebody that makes some money. Would they get 10%?
What I do is I pay him a certain amount every week, no matter what. Make the cut, don't make the cut, he's getting paid this. Then anything I win or any earnings I win, he'll get 8%. And then if I do win the tournament, he'll get 10%.
Right.
Well, Bull Tiger's caddy made a shitload of money until they had a falling out.
Yeah. Like, how does that – like, how do you pick your caddy, right?
Yeah, I could have you caddy.
No, you don't want to do that.
Well, I'd love to watch that. That'd be an interesting fodder on the damn golf course.
Maybe if it's yeah. What the fuck do you think you should do, Chandler? Here, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Maybe if we play at Knox City International, I'll caddy for you. But aside from that, no. But so you just knew the kid, and you're like, hey, want to caddy for me?
No, dude, it was the craziest. It's honestly the craziest shit. Like, it was last year. I went to Q school, or I guess it had been not last October, but the October before. I get through Q school, guaranteed myself for the first 12. I guaranteed I was in the first 12 events. Well, the first four were international. All the veteran caddies, they asked for like double the money because just a pain in the ass to get down there and everything like that. And it's expensive because it's like two in the Bahamas and then Panama and Bogota. But he had already moved here. He was still playing, but he didn't have any tournaments coming up for like the next 2 months. And I asked him, I was like, hey, you want caddy for me for the first four? I just need you for the first four. Then I'll find somebody because we'll be back in the States. They won't be freaking asking for an arm and a leg. I was like, you can stay with me. Like, I'll get the hotel. I'm probably not going to have to get a rental car just because it's international. They'll have like shuttles and everything. And all you got to do is just get yourself there. I'll pay you $1,000 a week and then 8% and 10% if I win. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. Go out, first tournament. Fucking win. Next tournament, get 12th. And then 2 weeks, he made, like, I had to pay him, like, I think, like, $22,000.
Right.
And then he was like, hey, what do you think about keep this rolling? And I'm like, dude, you can roll this motherfucker all the way to the end. I don't give a damn. You know, all I told him, I was like, man, if you want to quit, because like I said, you're still playing. I was like, if you want to quit and you want to start playing again, you know, playing mini tour events or trying to go Monday for the Corn Ferry events, just give me like a 2-3 weeks notice. Mm-hmm. Just don't come one day and be like, hey, I'm not there next week. I'm done. You know? And he was like, no, it's good. Like, I'll do that. Shit, we ain't looked back.
Rolling ever since. So that's how the caddies are picked. Like, they just a good relationship with the player and, hey, would you like to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's different with everybody. I mean, it's like there's guys that have like veteran caddies that have been out there for 20 plus years that they don't even know. And it's just like, hey, you know, ran into him like, hey, you know, you're looking for a bag or, you know, whatever. It's just how it goes. I mean, you might see this guy with this player 1 week, and then the next week he might be with a different player.
Yeah. Now, what do the caddies do? Like, do they go and like walk the course and shit? Like, with like, what do you do whenever you're at Hilton Head? You show up. I don't know what day you show up. So, like, run through like what your protocol is.
So, tournament starts Thursday. Usually Mondays, I'll just go. I'll you know, that's my travel day, you know, and I'll get there, you know, check in, register. And then I'll probably just go hit balls. That's probably all I'm going to do because I've been traveling all day, you know, whatever. Tuesday, I'll play 18 holes. He'll come, like, you know, walk with me, carry the bag, you know, whatever. Wednesday, I'll probably just hit balls, practice, this and that. He may go, you know, hey, I'm going to go look at, you know, 7, 8, 9 or, you know, 14 through 16. Look at these greens. I hear that they're tricky or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to go roll some balls on them. He may take off and just leave me on the putting green or the chipping green, which is fine. I mean, hey, go do what you want to do. I don't give a shit, you know. Just tomorrow morning, 8:15 tee time, be here, right. You know.
Right. So there is a little bit of scouting involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just like hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, the greens – like that's the main thing, because I mean, we get yardage books that tells you like, okay, there's a bunker out there, it's 285 yards to the bunker. Well, okay, I could hit driver and squeeze it between that and the left rough. Like if it's on the right, I could squeeze it between the bunker and that, or I could hit 3 wood and I could just take that bunker completely out of play and stay short of it. Mm-hmm. You know, hitting shots is not so much, you know, a big thing, but the putting, like the greens, figuring out like, okay, this putt looks like it goes left, but it actually goes right or vice versa. That's the shit. But I mean, the practice rounds, practice rounds are a pain in the ass. I hate practice rounds, but I mean, you got to do them. But practice rounds, you'll be out there for 6 hours. Oof. Playing 18.
Well, there's 150 just guys doing it, right?
Yeah, more than likely. Maybe not all 150, but like, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I just realized too, you don't get a day off when y'all are running 6, 8, 10 weeks in a row. You're traveling on Monday. If you play, then you make the cut. You're playing till Sunday. So you're not even coming home. Open. You're just going from it's course. Wide. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wide open every day. And the thing is like, even if I miss the cut, okay, you finish Friday, it's not even worth
coming home,
leaving Saturday, coming home, and then, okay, you got a day. You literally only have 1 day at home, and then you got to get back on a flight. And then go. I mean, it'd be one thing if I had an airport that was, you know, 10 minutes from me, 15 minutes from me. But, I mean, the closest airport to me is an hour and 20 minutes.
What is that, Houston?
So, I got Houston and Austin.
Oh. Okay.
Same distance.
Okay.
So, I mean, I kind of fly out of both of them. It's just whatever's cheapest or whatever I can get as a direct.
I've never flown into Austin, I don't think, either.
It is the best airport in the freaking world.
Really?
Small and easy?
Small, but you can get anywhere you want.
Because everybody flies out of Austin now.
It is. I mean, and flying in, from the time you get to the gate to the time you can walk out and somebody picks you up, it'd be 15 minutes and you'll have your bag.
So it's like Lubbock is. Lubbock's a real easy airport in and out.
Because nobody goes there. But Lubbock doesn't have all the destinations, so like you'd always have to get a connecting flight. You'd have to go from Lubbock to DFW on to wherever you were going to go. So
yeah, no, Austin.
Straight shot everywhere?
More than likely.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever flown in or out of Austin. I have San Antonio, but I don't think I have Austin. I have to think on that. Anyways, I didn't know, but it's a pain in the ass going into Austin, but so was going into Houston.
What do you mean, yeah. Driving in?
Fuck yeah, Austin's terrible. Their traffic, that plane's grown up so bad. I avoid Austin.
The good thing with Austin for me is the Austin airport's on the east side of Austin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like it. So for me, I mean, if I hit traffic, it's the last like mile
right.
to the airport. Other than that, I'm freaking driving 90 with everybody else in Texas.
I got a funny Austin airport story though. I'm not going to say his name, but he might have been one of my bankers at one time in his life. He was in Austin on business, and there's a strip club by the airport called the Hangar or something. Is that the name of it? Do you know?
I think
I'm not going to put you on a spot like that. Anyways, I think it's called the Hangar. Anyways, he was in there with some guys, and this girl comes up and starts dancing. He said, "Boy, she looks kind of familiar."
Mm-hmm.
He was looking at her and stuff, and she comes over to their table to do a late lap dance, and she turns around and looks at him. She's like, "Oh, my God." It was his neighbor girl.
Oh, no. Shit.
I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I gave her $20.
I paid her."
Told me, she goes, "Please don't tell my dad." He goes, "Don't you tell my wife I was in here." He goes,
"They are secret."
Yeah, we both got people we don't want them to find out.
He says, "Every time I see her, I'm like, hmm." And she looks at me and she's like, hmm. And he goes, it's an unspoken nothing has ever been said.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, "I saw her up there and I thought, boy, she looks familiar." And she turned around and she's like, "Oh my God."
Kind of like that scene on Old School where the guy sleeps with his boss's daughter.
Oh, yeah, and she comes in.
Thought she was like a college kid, and then she comes in, and yes. She's like,
17.
Oh, can't believe she's about to graduate. Yeah. Oh, college, huh? No, high school. Oh, fuck. So what do you do if you don't make the cut? Like, you just hanging out? Like, if you know, you just hang out at Hilton Head or whatever, or the town that you're in? Because like you said, yeah. You can't come home.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, next week there's no cut, but right. Any other event, yeah, I'll just, you know, take it easy. Obviously, if I miss a cut, something was off. And so Saturday I may go, you know, because the thing is like, even if you miss the cut, you can still go to the golf course and practice and hit balls and, you know, putt on the putting green, chipping green, you know, whatever. So normally I'll just be pissed off for a day, probably not do shit. And then Sunday, go out there, you know, practice, you know, do whatever I need to do, work on whatever I need to work on, because you got another tournament the next week and got to figure this shit out. So it's every day.
Yeah.
Like at the fishing deal, the guys didn't qualify the classic, or the guys that didn't get a fish the last day, they're out signing autographs and having to sign shit all day. And I thought, boy, but that sucks all day long, having to jack with people.
Well, because you're going for all this big money, and then all of a sudden you don't make the cut, and now it's like you got to deal with people.
Yeah, you got to deal with all your sponsors.
You know, like you said, you'll lay low a day, be pissed off, and, you know, kind of internally figure out what went wrong. But these guys, it's just like couldn't get the fish to bite or whatever, and now you got to go fucking sign Bubba's autograph for him, pose for the pictures.
They're not Bubba's at golf tournaments.
No. I just meant at the fishing tournaments.
Some yuppie boys. So have you got to meet John Daly yet?
I got to piss.
No. Not John Daly.
That's somebody I think I'd like to hang out with. Old John. I think me and John would be. I think me and John would be pretty good friends. Both loud. One of us is wealthy. One of us is not. One of us has only been married once. One of us has been multiple times. But he seems like he'd be a lot of fun. And very talented as a golfer.
Yeah. I don't know. I obviously think he slowed down from way back in the day, but
has to, or he wouldn't be dead.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to go hang out with him for a day and like 20 years ago or something like that.
You know, you talk about your not making the cut and doing things, or like, I'm assuming when you play golf, you have a regiment, like. You go eat dinner after your game's over. You probably go back to bed and go back pretty early to bed, right? Or do you stay up
all night? Yeah, I mean, it's, all dependent on the tee time and stuff like that. But, you know, it's, if you got a morning tee time, you're probably finishing at 1, 2 o'clock. So, yeah, you could go eat lunch, but you're probably going to fuck up dinner. So you could kind of like wait and have an early dinner. Or if you're late, shit, you can get done at like 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then it's like, all right, I'm gonna go get dinner, like something quick, you know.
What?
You know,
what?
Chipotle or something, you know, whatever. Just something like, I don't want, the last thing I want to do after like an afternoon round is go sit down somewhere and have an hour dinner.
Yeah.
Or longer than that. Like, I just want to go get something quick and get back to the hotel, take a shower, and get in bed. And if I fall asleep in the next 5 minutes, I'm perfectly fucking fine, you know.
I saw where, did they play the U.S. Open last year in Edmond, Oklahoma? Or did they play one? They had a big tournament in Oklahoma City.
No, they had the PGA in Tulsa.
Okay, it was in Tulsa. And all the other golfers are doing like you said. And a buddy of mine was at the Hard Rock Casino. And guess who was in there? Midnight, John Daly. He's in there fucking playing slots at midnight while everybody else is in bed getting ready to play golf the next day.
What was he playing, though?
Yeah.
He was playing?
Fuck yeah, he had on flip-flops, shorts, and some loud fucking shirt. His old hair is all fucked up. Looks like, you know, a rock star from the 80s. Old gruffy old beard and shit, but everybody loves John Daly.
Man's built different.
He is. But did you ever read his autobiography?
No.
It's a very good book, but he talks about Tiger Woods in that book. And there's an excerpt from Tiger. They interviewed Tiger, and Tiger was talking about John was, they were going to the gym, and John was going to the bar. And John said something to Tiger. He's like, you need to loosen up and go to the bar with me. He said, John, if I had your golfing talent, I wouldn't worry about going to the gym and practicing more. I'd be going to the bar too.
Right.
That's how talented he was. Or he is. He still is a hell of a golfer.
But he just hits the piss out of the ball, doesn't he?
Like he's playing barefoot somewhere the other day on a golf cart, drinking Diet Cokes, eating M&Ms, and playing golf barefoot. And some guys come up and he played with them.
Do you get a little snack bag out there? That's a long day. Got some beef jerky in your bag?
Yeah, they got, like, on number 1 and number 10, because they got tee times going off of both sides the first 2 days, and maybe the next few, depending on how many make the cut, you know, whatever. They have pretty much whatever you want, you know, snack-wise, and I'll load up on, you know, some bars or something, just something to eat, you know. Yeah. It ain't nothing like, oh, I gotta have a fucking meal or anything like that out there, but yeah, just some bars or something like that, and just eat a few around, get hungry, take some Zen out, eat it, put some Zen back in.
How much Zen do you go through in these tournaments? How many cans will you bring?
It's a can a day.
Really? 15 a day?
Yeah.
That makes sense, I guess, if you're double decking it.
I always wondered about the snacks, too, because I know that the Masters is famous for having their same pricing and menus that they've had since forever. Like a pimento cheese sandwich is like 50 cents or a dollar. I mean, they're really cheap, their stuff there. But the fanciest golf course I ever played on, I got invited to go play on Greg Norman's Red Sky Golf Course in Vail or Eagle, Colorado. Beautiful. You know, I was definitely the poorest guy there. And they had sushi on the at their snack bars. And there wasn't hardly anybody fucking there. But they had a hell of a budget there and stuff. And I thought, well, these people got way too much money for me.
How'd you play that day?
And I broke 100. It was a hard course.
Well, that's good, Jeff.
Yeah, because a lot of those holes, you got to carry the ball 250 yards just to make the green. Well, I can hit it 275 or 280 on a good day. But I can also hit it 220. So it was not conducive to Jeff playing very well, but it was a really nice course. They had a guy that was behind us, like on the second hole, and he was a maintenance guy there. And I asked him, I said, you can go ahead and come through here. You're not bothering us if you want to go through us. Oh no, I'm here to fix y'all's divots. They had a guy that just rode behind us in the court that fixed all of our divots the whole time we played.
Motherfucker, he'd be busy if I was there. I'd keep him on his toes.
So I guess as a touring pro, you don't have to rake your own sand traps, do you?
No, our caddies do that.
That poor fucker. Time I see one raking, I'm like, fuck, that'd suck right there. That'd be the suckiest part of that whole fucking job.
Why?
I just hate raking the sand traps.
Why?
It's just a pain in the ass. Because you need to get it really nice looking and stuff, and you always got your footprint. I just don't like it.
Oh.
You've never played golf with any place that had a sand trap.
I worked
trap.
At a fucking golf course.
Oh, you did?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you didn't rake sand traps.
I cut greens.
Yeah.
That's how hard up they were. I know nothing about golf, never played golf, and worked at a golf course in Lubbock my last year at Tech in the summer. Third day on the job, they're like, hey, you're cutting 1, 3, 9, and 13. Go get after it. I'm like, fuck me.
Well, you fuck one of them up. It's a big fuck up.
There's not a whole lot of talent working at the maintenance team.
Oh, you've done pissed every golf course maintenance guy that listens to us now.
Why?
You just said there's jobs meaningless things. Nobody could do it.
No, I said there's not a lot of talent. There wasn't a lot of talent if they were giving a guy third day on the job, like, hey, here's your greens, go get after it.
Well, you worked with a guy that got locked up in jail once every weekend. Then you worked with another guy that go to the titty bars and park in the parking lot just to watch the girls walk out the door.
Yeah.
And then come to work.
That was Norman.
Norman.
Every morning. He lived south of Lubbock, and there's a titter on the south side of Lubbock, and so you had to get there real early, like 5 o'clock in the morning. You only work like until noon or whatever, which was perfect. I loved it because, you know, with hunting season like I am, you know, it's no big deal for me to get up early, and like you're done at noon, so you can go fuck off at the pool or whatever. You can enjoy your summer. So every morning he would leave his house at like 3 a.m. when the bars were closing, when the titter was closing. He'd go park in the parking lot, wait for the dancers to walk to their car. And, like, I don't know if he'd beat off or whatever. But then, like, he'd show up to work at 5, and he would just tell everybody about, yeah, Clarissa, her and her boyfriend, they must be having problems because she was in an argument with him in the parking lot today. And I sure do worry about her. I almost got out to make sure to see if she needed any help. And, like, yeah, Norman, you should probably just sit in your fucking car and just, let you know, don't tell them that you're there every morning.
Yeah.
You're going to get a restraining order.
Tell Chandler about T-Rex.
Yeah, so there was another guy towards the end of the summer. He came on in, like, July, and he had, like, a half arm. He had, like, a T-Rex arm would hang up here. He was a weed-eating motherfucker, though. I don't know how he ever got started, but he could take that one arm and balance it, and I'm telling you what, he could weed-eat. He weed-eat twice as much as I did with two good arms. And he was a son of a bitch that could rake the sand traps, too.
T-Rex.
If I can get my old phone fired up, I got a picture of him. I got a video of him weed-eating one day. Be interesting if I could get that phone to turn on. I'm telling you what, though, he was a weed-eating jack. It was awesome working there. I loved it. And then, like, when I got done cutting greens, I went with this old Mexican dude, hated fucking gophers. And we had a lot of gophers. No, prairie dogs in Lubbock. Hated them. Like, you watch Caddyshack, that's him with prairie dogs. So, like, we're fucking poisoning their holes, and he's got a little 22 that the superintendent doesn't know he has, and we're shooting gopher prairie dogs, and I fucking loved it. I'd go back and work there in a heartbeat.
Real life Caddyshack.
Oh, it was awesome. The groundskeeper, you know, they hate the pro shop guys, and it was a whole rivalry.
Did you
I absolutely loved it.
See, I had a job I loved. I didn't make no money. I was a delivery guy to furniture store, and it was my favorite job I've ever had in my life. I'd go back and do it tomorrow again, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
If started my whole life again, I'd still work there because I had so much fun working there. I really enjoyed it. Did you ever have a job like that you had that was not a career job, but just a job you really, really, really liked?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or have all you done is played golf?
Pretty much all I've ever done played golf, but I did. So in Huntsville, we have the number one golf course in Texas that's like 25 minutes from me, from Huntsville. And in high school, I would go out there and caddy on the weekends if they needed me. You know, they'd call me and say, hey, we need an extra guy, you know, come and caddy. And my dad was stingy as shit with money. He didn't want to give me nothing because he probably knew what I was going to do with it, you know. And I'd go out there and shit, dude, it was freaking best. Like, go out there, caddy 18 holes, and get paid like $400.
Damn.
One day. It was just.
That's a hell of a gig.
Yeah. I mean, it was 4 hours, you're done.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, I was part time, so I didn't have to get there at the ass crack of dawn and be there all day. No, it was like, hey, your tee time's at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Show up at 8:30, be there. As soon as you're done, you're good. So
I'll tell you something I did one time that was golf related. Me and a buddy of mine, Bear, had this bright idea. We played golf a lot when we were in high school. We had a bright idea that we were going to sell golf balls, use golf balls. So we went to the country club and the big nice public course in Wichita Falls, and we got in all the ponds in the middle of the night, and we waited and got all the golf balls out of them.
Dickhead.
I mean, we got hundreds of golf balls. We're sitting in, you know, you can't use a flashlight. You don't want the cops to see you. You're wearing duck hunting waders. The problem is it's hard to sell used golf balls in Wichita Falls because both places that would have bought them, they're their fucking golf balls that you're selling back to.
Were they stamped?
Like, no, but they all come out of their fucking ponds and shit.
Right.
They just, there wasn't a market. We got a guy that gets our ponds, our balls out of our ponds, and we buy them from him. Well, he ain't going to have a whole lot to sell when he comes in here in a couple of weeks because we done cleared them some bitches out.
It was fun. I'd go back and do it again, though. And like I got the idea from a friend of mine. He worked at a golf course when he was in college, and I was like, cutting grass all day. But like, if you're there every day and you got most of your teeth, like, you're going to get to cut greens. You're going to get to do something pretty fun. Like, you're not just running a weed eater all day.
Right.
So, Bobby Knight played out there. Nice as could be. Never saw him throw a chair or anything like that. Really, really nice. Like, if he saw us working, like, we'd kind of pull over to the side and he'd do what he had to do. And he'd always make a point to, like, swing back around and tell everybody hello.
You know, that's kind of like somebody right now saying that about OJ. He's a nice guy. Never seen him stab nobody.
Never stabbed anybody. Never saw Bobby Knight throw a chair across the court. So like, what do you think happened in your career to where, you know, you are where you are now? Cause you know, you spent 3 years on, you know, not even making it. And then like now here you are third at an event. Was it just repetition?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like I was talking about earlier with like my caddy. I mean, you play right at the right time.
Yeah.
And take advantage of it and, you know, go with it. That's all it is. I mean, there's so many, like I was saying, there's so many guys in the world now that don't have any status anywhere that could come and compete. Like, I mean, it's just taking advantage of the right time. And it took me 3 years to do it, and I did it. And now I'm on the PGA Tour and living it up, you know.
Were you ever like close to quitting or anything? Did you ever have that moment where you're like, I don't know if this is ever gonna happen?
No, I think where if it ever got to where I had, because a lot of guys that don't have status, more than likely they don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not making any. So they got to go get pretty much like investors or anybody that would like, hey, you know, I'll give you 20 grand or 30 grand this year. And if you do that, 99% of the time they're going to want, hey, I'll give you 20 grand, but I want half of your earnings this year. Like, and if you take off, say somebody did that for me and I took off, and I, you know, got on the Corn Ferry and, you know, started playing, made what I made last year, I had to give half of that back? No, I ain't doing that. So I'd pretty much made up my mind if, like, I ever ran out of money and I had to ask for money, I ain't doing it. You know, I'll do something else. You
so
know,
there's guys that do that?
Yeah. I ain't going to name a name any names, but I had a buddy that he didn't get in a bad spot, but he did. I don't understand why he did it, but he had three guys give him, you know, X amount, you know, 20 grand or something like that. And at the end of the day, every event, any money he made, he only got to keep like 10% of it. And it's just like, What'd
you think was going to happen here?
Yeah, you can't do nothing with that. Like, I mean, it's just so, yeah.
So there are guys out there. I can tell you right now, I could see where if you're a pretty decent golfer, and that would be a good investment for somebody. That's a real good investment.
I'll give you
50 grand. I'll give you 50 grand and you give me half your earnings. Fuck yeah.
But what sucks is, like he said, if you got three different people that you're giving 25% to.
No. I understand that. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying if you're that guy that's giving that money to someone on, and they're a pretty good golfer, that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
I mean, you're out $25,000 or $50,000. Huh?
It, it, it had to be on paper for me that, like, okay, you give me this. Oh, which, yeah. I mean, it's not going to work out for somebody, but I mean, if I make, you know, if you give me 20 grand or 30 grand and I take off and I'm giving you, you know, 50% and I take off and I make it to the Corn Ferry, well, all right, hey, I'm done. Like, here's your 20 grand back. Because if I made it to the Corn Ferry, I've made enough money that I can pay him back, and I just give him back the money and we're done.
That's not how that works, though. That guy's not giving you his money to get his money back. That's he's gonna break your fucking thumb.
I mean, that's like the mob, basically.
That's right. I mean, they're not. We'll loan you $50,000, or we're gonna buy you for $50,000, and we get 25% of your earnings. And then you go, you do good. Well, here's your 50 grand. I'm not doing that. No. You don't understand. So then we own you for 9 more months.
Fuck, yeah, man.
You
know?
If you win a scratch off fucking lottery ticket, we want half that bitch.
Son of a bitch, dude.
You sell your soul.
Hmm. Have you had the coffee Zins?
Nah. I stick to the wintergreen.
They're a little. See, I tried the wintergreen. It reminded me of those candy cigarettes that you got as a kid. Very, very overpowering. So I do spearmint, but I'm out of spearmint, and I had coffee here. I don't know. It's a little sweet for me. Kind of like dessert. You know, it's okay, but I stick to spearmint. I tried wintergreen. It's a little stout.
Stout.
Real stout. Now, did you dip, didn't you? Or did you always just do Zins?
Nah, it was... So back in, like, high school, I used to chew, like, Red Man and stuff like that. But then got in college, freaking... You could almost classify me as an alcoholic. Oh, like, wow. I was going out all the time and drinking and everything, and they, like, I don't remember what it was like junior year, they came out with the damn puff bars.
Yeah,
well, my drunk ass all the time, you know, somebody would have one and be like, hey, let me hit that, you know, I hit it. I mean, it's nothing bad, it's just nicotine or it's, you know, whatever, but I'd hit it. I'm just like, oh shit. Like, I mean, you have 4 beers.
Yeah.
You hit it, it'll take you to like where you had 8 just off of one hit, you know? And I was like, shit, I gotta have these. Well, it wasn't very smart for me because I got fucking asthma.
Oh no.
So I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be gasping for fucking air.
It's all in that so thing. Then,
yeah, so then they came out with the Zins, and I was like, shit, I'm going to try these, and they get off these damn puff bars, you know, and tried one and started doing them, and I was like, shit, these are better, mm-hmm. You know. These actually stick with me. It's not like I can hit this damn puff bar every 5 minutes or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of how I got started on
We had a guy that worked for us. He was a big time smoker. I don't how much do you think Stoner smoked in a day? Was he a pack a day, you think?
I don't know. I never counted. I don't have a clue, but probably a pack a day.
Smoked a lot. So he got on the vapes, and he is 3 months without a vape. He started Zenin and put the vape down. No more. Doesn't have to worry about popcorn long now.
Good for him then.
He's, you know, he does 2 sixes right off the bat. But I was talking to somebody at jiu-jitsu the other day, and he did Copenhagen his entire life. He put a 6 in, and it knocked him on his ass.
Really?
He said, I chewed Copenhagen my entire life. Put that 6 in, he said, I was on a different planet.
You know, my father-in-law, your grandfather, he used to smoke 3 packs a day.
How many is in? How many, 20?
That's 60 cigarettes a day. I don't know how you
He did die of lung cancer.
He did die of lung cancer.
So,
and my dad used to smoke 2 or 3 packs a day also. He died of lung cancer. So, but three packs a day, 60. You figure that they slept 6 hours a day, probably guys that age.
Right.
I mean, that lifestyle. That's 18. That's smoking at least 3 cigarettes an hour, 3.5 an hour.
Shitting and getting. Saving money on lighters though.
Yeah,
go from one to the next.
What kills me is, and it used to be more old ladies that I would see doing this. Yeah. I would see them eating and holding their cigarette and eat and smoke at the same time. I'm like, how the hell do you do that shit?
I've never done that. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life.
Yeah, no, Puff Bar's got you, though.
Puff Bar's got me.
What, you don't drink it hardly ever. I don't think you drank anything when you were out here.
Dude.
He just said he used to be an alcoholic almost.
Well, I know that, but I mean, that's also college.
Hell, I don't care. It's been so long now. I got busted.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. So it was like 2 months. 2 months before I graduated. It was actually on April Fool's Day. Everybody thought it was a joke.
You got D-wobbly?
Yeah. Oof. I freaking... like an idiot. It's back when I didn't have a dollar to my name.
Yeah.
I was drinking for free at a bar because I had a little, you know, deal or whatever with the manager. And I didn't have a dollar to my name, so I couldn't Uber. So I was just driving.
Too poor to Uber. I never heard that one before. That's a good one.
And I got freaking busted, and ever since then, shit, dude. I don't. I'll tell you this. My girlfriend and my mom, they put on a party, like, or a get together after I got my card last year in October. I walked in. It was in College Station. We went to this restaurant, you know. I walked in. I had no idea that was even happening, and walked in and I saw all my buddies that I used to go out with. It's a Friday night in College Station. I was like, fuck, I know where this is going. You know, I know I'm gonna wake up tomorrow. I ain't gonna know where the hell I'm at, you know? Yeah. And so that was actually, I think that's the last time I drank.
Jeez. That long ago,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Plus, I don't drink at tournaments because, I mean, it's just, fuck, man. It seems like, like back in college, yeah, I could go get absolutely hammered. Next day, I could have qualifying and be perfectly fine, you know. And now, dude, I have like 3 beers, 4 mm-hmm. beers. I wake up the next day. I won't have a hangover, but I'll feel like I got hit with a fucking bat.
Yeah.
And it's just, can't do that. Like, well, I can't do that now and, like, feel like I can
play.
Actually, pee. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't drink as much as I used to. I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, I think people just kind of go through, like, ebbs and flows in their life. But I didn't drink a lot. But a couple years ago, like, you know, you sit down to edit a podcast or whatever, and I'd have a bourbon or whatever, and bourbon would be 2. But it got to where I'd wake up, and like you said, I wasn't hungover, but I just didn't feel good. Like, I didn't feel as good as I could. So anymore, like, my big thing was I got a Traeger. So, you know, you'd smoke a piece of meat and, like, well, you got to drink something while you're waiting for your meat to fucking cook. Yeah. So you'd spend Saturday drinking all day and cutting the grass or whatever. And, you know, you're sweating it out. But still, like, you wake up the next day and you're like, I'm not 100%. Like, I could feel way better.
Didn't we just go to liquor store so you could buy this fancy concoction?
Yeah, have you ever had a Negroni?
How was it?
So
that's not good. I can tell by your face. That's $150 you're not getting back.
Yeah, 100%. It's called a Negroni. And I was on TikTok, and for whatever reason, like, my TikTok algorithm is all these people making fancy drinks, like, doing it in a cool way, like kind of like cocktail where they're throwing shit and flipping shit, and ice is, like, on the ceiling, and it drops in the cup. Cool cocktails. Well, anyway, he was making a Negroni. So I was like, that's interesting. I think I've heard Anthony Bourdain talk about a Negroni. Anthony Bourdain said it was his favorite drink. So I'm like, oh, fuck, I'll try one. So I got all the ingredients. It's Campari, gin, and vermouth. So it's like straight liquor, straight alcohol. Whenever you spray off and, like, that wind catches it and it kind of goes inside of your mouth.
Oh, God.
That's what a Negroni tastes like. Yuck. So spent $127 on Campari, gin, and vermouth.
And we made a special trip to go to this liquor store.
Oh, we didn't have to go that far out of the way. It's on the way home.
15 minutes out of the way.
It wasn't fucking 15. You're Andy in Abilene, Texas. Andy was nowhere's 15 minutes out of the way.
Andy was all excited about this drink. I heard about it the whole morning.
Oh, I was so excited. Got home, mixed it all up. Did it just like, you gotta stir it. You don't shake it. Had the whole fucking thing going. Orange slice. Because Anthony Bourdain says use an orange slice, not a lemon slice. I take that first sip and I'm like, whoo, boy. That tastes just like bug spray.
So we're not doing this again.
Well, I got to now. I'm fucking $130 committed.
No, you got gin. You can make gin. You can have gin and tonic.
The Campari was the expensive part of the thing.
I still don't even know what Campari is. It was orange liqueur, right?
Yeah, I don't know. The Italians love it. So
I'm Italian. And you should try it, Jeff.
No, you should try it. You're Italian. You'd probably like it.
I don't like this taste of off bug spray. So
what's the drink that they make at the Masters that everybody's going crazy about right now? Because I've been seeing that. Something that Augusta's famous for.
Is it the lime giblet?
Fuck, I don't know.
Look it up and see.
I ain't got a clue.
So when you got your D-wobbly, did you have to call your dad to come get you?
Dude. It was...
That's got to be the hardest call ever.
So, they took me in. They took me in and, you know... They're like, hey, you can have your phone for 15 minutes, write down as many numbers as you need to, you know, call or whatever, because you can't call on your phone. And I turned my phone on and I had 1%.
Oof.
So, and I had already made up my mind. I'm not calling my parents. Like, I'm just, if I got to call my parents, I'll sleep it off until they let me out or somebody finds out I'm here and they'll come get me. And I turned my phone on, saw that I had 1%. I went straight to my recent calls, and I got to write down 8 numbers. I had my head coach, my assistant coach, my athletic academic advisor, because me and him were pretty tight, like 3 or 4 of my buddies, and then... I think somebody else. I don't know. I called everybody. Nobody answered. I was like, fuck. And my phone died. Yep. My phone died like within like a minute, you know. And then, so I called everybody. I called everybody again the second time. Nobody answered. I was like, fuck this. I'm not calling my parents. I'm not calling them. So I like, all right, man, here you go. I just gave the freaking dude the phone back. I was like, I'll wake up in the morning, I'll call somebody. Like, they're not answering. I go over to the chair, and I just fall asleep. I mean, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I wake up, somebody's tapping me, and the guy comes over. He's like, hey, you Chandler? I said, yeah. He's like, all right, you've been bailed out. And I was like, fuck. I guess somebody got my message, you know? And I go over, go through the door, some random ass guy. He's like, hey, man, I'm so-and-so with Brazos County Bail Bond, you know. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. But I don't give a fuck. Get me the fuck out of here. I don't want to be in this damn place. So we're walking to the car. I was like, we're not even to the car yet. We ain't even, like, got in the car, walking to his car. And I'm like, hey. Who called you? Like, obviously somebody called you to, you know, and he was like, and it's like he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that. He was like, your parents. I'm like, fuck that. Put me back in there. like, put me back in. I'm not fucking going with you. Like, no, it's all good, you know, whatever. I was like, fuck. So, go in, go to his office, and he was like, yeah, your parents are on the way, you know, whatever. And he was like, I told him, I was like, hey, man, like, look here. If when they show up, don't try to stop anything. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, dude, they're going to come in and they're going to start swinging for the fences. Like, they're going to knock the shit out of me. And he was like, no, man, that ain't going to happen. It's all good. I'm like, dude, you don't know my mom and you don't know my dad. Like, shit's gonna happen. I'm looking at the window. The window, you could see out, and I saw that freaking truck go by. I'm like, shit. So I just looked straight down, and for some reason, my mom was wearing heels that day. She never wears heels, and I could hear it. And my mom, she's not like a real fast walker, but I mean, those heels were just clank, 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 clank. I mean, walking real fucking fast. And I get to hear it getting closer and closer. About that time, whack, just ear hold me, just knocked the ever living shit out of me. And I looked up, and I wish I had a picture of that guy's face. Like, he was just completely like, holy shit, this just happened, you know? So anyways, that all happened. End up finding out that my athletic academic advisor and my head coach, they called each other saying, hey, did you get a call, you know, from Brazos County jail or something? They found out it was me. And then my head coach called my parents. But, and I asked him later, like after the fact, you know, down the road, I said, hey, I got a question. Why'd you call my parents? He was like, I know your parents, and I figured it was the best thing to do just for you to get that over with, because I knew they were going to ring your ass.
That's hard not to do that, though, because as a parent, I would want one of my friends to call me and tell me if my son got in trouble. I would. If my boys get in trouble, I would love them to tell me instead of not telling me. But I was
planning on telling them, but it was like figuring out how to do it. I needed some time to think about
it. You don't want to be hungover and have to tell them.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, it's all done now. It's off, you know, it's behind me. And actually I'm not glad it happened, but at the same time, I am.
Might
glad
have been
it
the best thing that happened for you.
Yeah. I mean, because I was freaking drinking way too much back then. And, you know, it was right at the end of college. And if it wouldn't have happened, I don't know if I would have kept, I don't know if I would have stopped, you know? And, but yeah, I mean, it was expensive. But as soon as I signed, like right out of college, I actually called. I called all like the, because I mean, at that time, I'm already about to graduate, about to turn pro. I'm talking to, you know, sponsors and, you know, my agent is and everything like that. I called everybody that I was talking to about sponsoring me. I told them, I'm like, hey, man, I don't want you to hear this from anybody else other than me. I was a fucking idiot. You know, I was dumb. This happened, and yeah, it's done. It's over with. Like, I hope this doesn't change anything. And all of them were great. And yeah. I ended up signing with Nike right after. Like, pretty much when I turned pro in the middle of that summer. And obviously, I didn't have a dime to my name when this shit happened. You know, when I did go to jail, and as soon as I signed with Nike and I got the signing bonus from them, I freaking went, got the check. I wrote my dad $15,000 check. I said, here's your money for all my problems.
You know,
he was like, "This don't make up.
It don't make up for nothing."
I had a buddy of mine. His son got a DWI. It was probably about 7-8 years ago, and he didn't tell his dad, and he worked for his dad, and his dad's got a construction company, and he came home and told his parents at Thanksgiving. He goes, Mom and Dad, I'm gonna sit down and talk to y'all. And they're like, what? And this was like a month after it happened, and he was just scared his parents were gonna find out. And he told him, he said, I've got cancer real bad. And his parents got upset, and he goes, no, I'm just kidding, I got a DWI. He said, I figured this make it on his bad.
What the fuck?
Jesus.
His dad told me, I went from fucking scared and hurting to mattering the son of a bitch real quick. But he goes, be honest with you, he goes, it sure took a lot of that deal of the DWI off when you realized how important really life is really is. I'd kill myself. I've only had to bail one person out for I've magistrated a bunch of people for different shit as a judge, but Tony got a boating while intoxicated one time, and he had to be about, I don't know, I'm guessing he was 19. I was probably 21, 22. And he said he called everybody in the world before he was going to call me because he knew I was going to bitch at him. And me and my dad had to go get him out of jail. And he ended up getting it dropped on, the charges dropped on him. But, boy, you could just hear it in his voice. I was the last person he wanted to call.
Well, and it was a bullshit thing, too, wasn't it? Like, he was not intoxicated?
No, he just had a couple of beers, but he'd been on a deal, and he
But he got off on a dock from a jet ski, and the dock, like...
was wobbling.
Wobbling whenever he got off, and then cops were right there, and they're like, hey, come here, buddy.
No. They pulled up to him at Hell's Gate. Him and a girl were on a Sea-Doo.
Maybe this was the second
pulled up. No, he's only had one. Oh. And they took him to a dock and did the walking, and it was wobbly and stuff. He begged them to give him a blood test and a breath test, and they wouldn't do it.
All he got to go to jail with was his swim trunks and a life jacket. He was begging them for an orange jumpsuit.
So it was cold, and we went and picked him up, and I told Dad, I said, boy, I bet you sure are proud of Tony, aren't you? And he just kind of shook his head, and guess who comes fucking walking out of the jail? And no, he's sitting under a tree at Palo Pinto County, sitting under a tree with just swim trunks and a damn life jacket. And I said, there's your favorite son right there, Dad.
There's your boy.
Yeah.
Your kid, Zach, though, or probably shouldn't say that. Jeff's had a son that's had a couple MIPs. You know, it happens. People are young and dumb.
Yeah, but when you're the judge and it happens in your city, it's very fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, but I mean, kids are stupid, you know?
It's the overall. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a kid that's under 20 years old, and he gets the MIP, and he's out drinking and hunting and having fun, you're raising a fucking real kid, at least.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like when Jameson broke his arm. This has nothing to do with it. Jameson's 4 or 5 years old and breaks his arm. I was like, hell yeah. That's a real boy right there.
On the monkey bars.
You know, that's just fucking part of growing up and stuff. And if we'd have had all the rules that y'all have today, I would have probably gotten a lot of trouble. And I didn't drink much because I was always the driver. But there's nights that I drove home when I was at least sober of all my friends in high school.
The most sober.
And the rules are so different now for you guys. I mean,
yeah,
we poured liquor out all the time. Today they get MIPs. And I understand why they do it. If a cop pulls someone over and he makes them pull out liquor and then they have an accident and kill somebody or themselves, they're going to get the shit sued out of them. Back then they didn't have cameras on cops. It was just a different world. But that's a good lesson you learned, and not.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I mean, like I said, obviously I wish it didn't happen, but I mean, at the same time, kind of glad it did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing is my parents, like they were pretty strict in high school, so I barely drank in high school, they wouldn't even let me go, like, stay the night at anybody's, like, house. Like, go hang out. They'd let me go hang out, but on a weekend, it was 10:30. Mm-hmm. If you're not home, my mom's come fucking find me. She is coming, and it ain't going to be good, you know? So it was like, 10:30, you better be home. Shit, I'm pulling in at 10:15.
Right.
Like, I don't even give a damn, because I ain't getting the shit beat out of me, because I'm freaking a minute late, you know, and which my parents, I don't want to make my parents sound bad, like they were freaking great, but yeah, like, so when I got to college, I'm in a totally different town, and then the guys on the golf team, they're pretty wild, you know, so I got to see it very early, and I was just like, shit, I'm about to have the time of my life.
Make up for lost time here. But I think it's better to get that shit out of your system before, like, it's way better to do it at 22 than it is to do it at 32 or 42.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
then you're just a dredge on society.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the thing. Like, if you do, if that happens to you at 32, well, like, you've already been partying way too hard for way too long. Just get the shit out of your system, you know? It's a good deal. So we'll start wrapping up here. I know you got other shit to do. No fishing. Are you gonna go fishing, or is it still raining down there?
No, it's not raining. I'm leaving Sunday, so I'm gonna go to the golf course and go practice for the rest of the day.
Might as well do something, I guess.
Yeah.
Something productive. So you leave out, you fly out Sunday, you'll be there, and then off to the races after that.
That's it. Go to South Carolina, New Orleans, Dallas, and then back to South Carolina next month.
Fucking have to change your address, South Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
Well, listen, man, it's always fun talking to you. Hopefully we'll see you out here in November, and we'll shoot some ducks and geese and rock and roll with it again.
Hell yeah, I'm there.
Let us know if there's anything we can do for you, and good luck the rest of the way.
Appreciate it. See you, good bud. To talk to you.
Bro. Best luck, Tanner, bud. Be safe, friend. God bless you.
Yes, sir.
See you, buddy.
See you.
Bye.
What a cool life.
The great Chandler Phillips.
There are people that are going to work every day. 99% of them are thinking that like to play golf. They're like, fuck, what a life. Yep. And it is. But
it's the Azalea cocktail at the Masters. It is vodka, lemonade, grenadine.
They call that the Azalea.
Azalea cocktail.
I've had lemonade and vodka. Never had that. I got grenadine at home. I might try that. That better sounds better than that.
Garnish it with a cherry and a lemon wheel.
What is a lemon wheel?
I think you just slice a lemon, probably.
Okay. I know what you're talking about now, I think. It's not a wedge.
Not a wedge. Well, yeah.
You know, there's a famous steakhouse that we ate in Augusta that's right by the course.
Really?
I can't remember the name of it, but they had all the pictures of all the golfers that go in there and eating stuff.
That's the Azalea.
It looks like a really good drink.
Looks like a summertime drink. Sitting out on the golf course all day.
So I
try one of those.
What's your next big find?
The Azalea.
You're going to try one of them now?
Yeah, because I think I've got everything. What did I say it was?
Vodka, lemonade, and grenadine.
Yeah, I'll try that. I'll do the Negroni again, like I said.
Doesn't sound good at all if it tastes like off.
Well, you just got to fight through, Jeff.
But why? If you don't drink something and you don't like it, why would you keep drinking other shit? That just doesn't make sense to me. It's like trying something. Oh, if you'll eat it a couple of times, you'll start liking it.
Yeah, but like, how does anybody ever like bourbon? How does that get turned on? I like bourbon. I didn't like it in my early 20s.
Well, I'm 56 and I don't like it. But I don't know. I don't like very much alcohol. My drink right now, and I can't get it straight. I don't know why everything I have to have that I like has to be complicated. It's simple. I like a glass of ice with some lemon juice in it or lime juice, salt and lime around the edge of it, and a cold beer, put a Dos Equis on top of the ice with lots of salt.
Well, Jeff, you're just fucking pain in the ass the way you describe it.
Well, I describe it like that, and Mom's like, shh. And then they fuck it up and bring it to them. And I said, I know, see, that's what they're saying, too. I have to explain it to them all the time. I've given up on getting a frozen mug, because nobody ever has a frozen mug.
Forget that.
So I like it this way. It's just a chalada. Or they bring it to me. The other day, we went, and I explained to some lady, we went to Buffalo Gap and ate the other night. And I explained to the lady, I said, listen, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm a great tipper.
But I'm going to be difficult. If you start the order by I'm not difficult, you're difficult.
And I said, this is how I want my beer done. Just a glass of ice, told her the same thing. And I said, she goes, oh, that's simple. We do this all the time. I said, good. And I do not want any tomato juice. Oh, no, no, no. And Mom ordered a Chilton. So they bring the deal coming over here. And I'm like, they fucked up your Chilton. Looks a little dark over there. And they goes, here's the Chilton. She goes, no, it's not mine. They did that. And I was like, son of a bitch. I go, how hard is it? I explained to the lady, I want a chalada, not a michelada, a chalada. So you don't know. All right. Anyways, thank y'all for listening to us. We appreciate it. Next week, we got a guy on from Oregon. It'll be interesting talking about a lot of different things in Oregon. Old timer, set mid-70s, grew up hunting out there in California and Oregon. Cannot wait to talk to him. And I have no idea what else we're doing next week. I can't remember. Anyways, thank y'all. The Bigfoot Lake. Well, she hasn't confirmed yet. But supposedly a lady that owns a museum that's a big, sees them all the time. Hope this is going to be like the Green Apple story. So we'll see what happens next week on that. Thanks, peace, God bless. Have a great weekend.
Watch for deer. Go check out all of our sponsors. Go check out MLR Graphics. Baseball season's here. And if you've got other events that you've got coming up you need t-shirts for, check out MLR Graphics. Boss Shot Shells, Pacific Calls, BHP25, Dive Bomb Industries, Dirty Duck Coffee, Shin Gear, Looking Glass Podcast, Lucky Duck, Ducks Unlimited, Double T British Kennels, Mallard Bay, Stanfield Outfitters, Hemp Hill Farm, BHP, Mossberg, and Alpha Outdoors.